As I told Steven, you know, I listen to his podcast while I'm in the shower.
Hello and welcome to Fantasy Friendship. I'm your host, Steven Launch, joined today by my former boss, now friend, Graham Archer.
Yes, that's me.
And also a first, third appearance, I think now, Jake Anderson, who just, I've had two people now say that he'd be a good permanent co-host, like unprompted, and I'm putting my personal feelings aside and just letting you on the show again.
Yeah, I don't even have anything to contribute. I'm just along for the ride, trial run, co-host.
Jake's a professional podcaster. Well, I guess you are too, Steven. Do you consider yourself a professional podcaster at this point?
No, I don't get paid. I think that's okay. The separation between professional and hobbyist. But perhaps a sponsor might be on the way. So,
brought to you by Taco Bell.
Keep your eyes out for that. When like a free scratch or one of those type in your receipt things from Taco Bell and say they sponsor the podcast, they got a free burrito out of it.
I think you should just make up commercials for Taco Bell and do like live reads that they never provided to you. Just like,
I could. I don't like Taco Bell though. I should probably go a different.
No, that makes it even better.
Okay, that's fine.
Yeah. Just talk about like the texture of their crunchy tacos and then say, mmm, Taco Bell. And then that's it.
They sure are crunchy. And today we are talking about not Taco Bell, but about a story that might give you chills up your spine. It's going to be a scary one. Graham, what are we talking about?
The time I met R.L. Stein, I guess.
R.L. Stein, author of the Goosebumps series.
Yes. Yeah. And so much more, actually. I'll have to do some like Wikipedia and why we talk, but he's like still, I mean, the guy's written, if you do the math, he's written like a book every month or something since he was like over the, in the past 30 years. It's insane.
So he's the Stephen King of children's horror books.
Yeah, he seriously is. It's nuts. But also probably like the fifth most famous person I've met. So
okay, we're gonna need the rundown at the end of this too to see who the top four.
Top five.
I mean, I don't know. Like, so you guys have met Adam Carriker, like former NFL first round draft pick.
I think R.L. Stein's more famous.
R.L. Stein is probably more famous. I mean, like, met Tom Osborne. Like, a lot of them are sports figures. Bud Crawford, you know. And that just comes because of where we worked at the... Daryl Strawberry? Daryl Strawberry's
famous. Oh, yeah. We met Daryl Strawberry together.
Yeah. We have a picture with him. We gave him a hug. I held on for a little too long, probably.
I wonder if Daryl Strawberry over Tom Osborne in terms of, like, national notoriety. Yeah. I would say national probably. Profile. So Daryl Strawberry probably have number one on that list.
Yeah, I would agree.
Followed by a close second.
He said we did good stuff. Yeah.
We signed a thing for him.
That's true.
We signed a newspaper for Daryl Strawberry that's probably hanging somewhere in his 50-story house.
I do wonder if Osborne is more well-known because of his governor, Ron.
Maybe. I don't know, but nationally.
Yeah, but that's still not national, yeah.
Like, Nebraskans know Tom Osborne, but I don't think...
I'd give it to Daryl.
Would your average Californian know
Tom Osborne? On a Simpsons... He was on, like, an iconic Simpsons moment.
Yeah. Oh,
okay. Yeah, he's... I give it to him just for the Simpsons episode.
Yeah. And if you think about it, there's probably only, like, seven people in the world who have signed something for Daryl Strawberry.
Yeah.
And six of them were probably when he was a kid getting someone else's autograph, and... Like, he's probably not asking for too many autographs, you know, after he was 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
Because at that point, I'm sure he was a superstar.
And here Graham and I are, and Matt Haney from the World Herald, I think, signed it too.
Yeah.
And we're signing newspapers for Daryl Strawberry to hang up. And for Marty Cordero, Storm Chasers owner.
No, it was Gary Green.
Gary Green, you're right.
Yeah.
You're right, sorry.
Yep.
Same thing, whatever.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So anyway, R.L. Stein. So, kind of crazy. Like, obviously, I grew up like any kid in the 90s, just reading every Goosebumps book. Like, I remember there was a kid, Drew Holmes, who lived down the street from me, like eight houses away. And I was so jealous because he had every Goose, like his parents would buy him every Goosebumps book when they came out. And so he would read them and lend them to me. And you know, read all the good ones.
Which one was your favorite?
I actually know mine.
I'll buy you a little bit of time here. Yeah. Think about what it is. Mine is the pancake one where this person, this daughter or granddaughter is visiting her grandparents in the swamp and they have to make a ton of pancakes in order. And she's like, why are they making so many fucking pancakes? Like just a ridiculous amount of pancakes. And that's like the first three chapters is she's like, what the hell are grandma and grandpa doing? Where are these pancakes going? And turns out they're feeding a monster that's in a locked room. And I might be butchering a little bit of the story. It's been, you know, a week since I read this book. But that's all it is. Like they're feeding this monster to keep it from eating them. And eventually like they don't make the pancakes. And I think the monster may or may not have ate one of the grandparents.
Is this the girl who cried monster? Do you know if that's what?
I don't know the title of it.
Yeah. I'll see if pancakes was a strong theme in that book.
There's so many pancakes.
So mine, I would say I probably have two. One was The Curse of the Mummy's Tomb, because when you're in fourth grade, of course, you're obsessed with mummies for some reason. And then Welcome to Camp Nightmare was the one I was trying to think of. I knew it was at a camp. That one was pretty good. I'm pretty sure that's the one.
What are the themes of those? I don't know those.
And One Day at Horrorland, that was pretty good. I mean, I don't even think there are themes. These books, I haven't read them in a while. But I mean, like I remember Night of the Living Dummy, which is obviously just like Chucky, except with a ventriloquist doll.
I think that one's a part of the TV show too.
That could be.
I think this is the moment where I admit that I've never read a Goosebumps book or seen the TV show.
Have you ever read a book?
Yes, I've read books.
Okay, well, there's no books outside of Goosebumps, Jake, and Magic Treehouse.
Did you not have a childhood? Like, did you just skip that part of your life?
You didn't have cable either, did you? What did you do for the first, like, 15 years you lived?
15 years, that's a little strong. I read a lot of other books. Like Stephen King.
Wait, when you were like in third grade?
What?
Yeah, Goosebumps wasn't scary enough. Like I had to just jump right to.
Here's Jake, second grade, we're reading Pet Sematary. Just going all in on this thing.
The Shining, it came from a Buick A. Just like, bam, I was knocking those out in first grade.
So anyway. I, as any good kid, grew up reading all the Goosebumps books. loved it, whatever, you know, move on with my life, graduate to Stephen King as Jake would later. We got the Fox 42 Kids Club magazine delivered to our house, I don't know how long this thing was around, but, you know, it's like 20 pages. I don't even know.
Yeah.
It's just like crossword puzzles for kids, you know, the word searches, all that stuff. And just basically brainwashing them into watching Fox 42, the local Fox affiliate, you know, making sure you catch all the cartoons or whatever on Saturday morning. And so I think me and my older brother got the magazine. And at some point, one of my little brothers, Jack, they had a contest in the magazine where you could fill out this thing and send it back and, you know, sign up to, you know, meet R.L. Stine. And so he fills this out and sends it in. And on, we're sitting at the house one day and the phone rings and he goes and answers it. He goes and answers it. And it's someone from Fox 42 saying, you've won this contest. You get to meet R.L. Stine. And my brother's like 10. And so he's like freaking out and then realizes that it is April 1st. And he's like,
oh,
which one of my friends is playing this stupid joke on me right now? So it takes him like 5 minutes. And you can only imagine, like, this is a producer, I don't know, someone at Fox 42 talking to like this 10-year-old kid, and they're like, no, you get to meet R.L. Stine. He's like, who is this? Timmy, is that you? You know, and so he eventually is convinced that he gets to meet R.L. Stine and gets so like amped about it that he runs out of the room to go tell my mom. And this is the day like where phones are still connected to the wall through cords. And pulls the phone out of the wall as he's like running into the living room to go tell my mom that he won this contest. And so phone goes dead. Everyone's freaking out, but didn't break the phone, just like the cord had come unplugged. So yeah. Plugged it back in. They called like 2 minutes later. And we're like, yep, you won. So they were going to fly out my like one parent and my brother to go be in a Goosebumps TV show. They were going to write him into a book, which they eventually did. The one thing they never did is they were going to ship us every Goosebumps book that was ever written. Maybe they realized it was, what's that?
You could have matched Drew, but he probably had them all. They didn't have any more books left.
Yeah. And they probably didn't realize that R.L. Stine would write like 7,000 books. So,
wait, which book was he written into?
I'd have to look that up. But
the pancake one?
He's in one of them. I don't know. You Google it, Jake, while I'm telling the story. Jack Archer, Goosebumps character. I don't know. I'm going to Google it now because, you know, I know Jake's not going to.
I have my phone right here.
I don't know if he can spell.
This is co-host duty.
Goosebumps Wiki, Body Squeezers, Invasion of the Body Squeezers, Part 1. He's the main protagonist. So my brother, Jack Archer, is the main protagonist. Jack and his sister, Billy, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, there's a guy named Mr. Fleshman. I don't know.
I think we need to ask here. I think we need to ask here, why was your brother the influence of Body Squeezers?
I have no idea. I think they just, he won a contest, so instead of like Joe, it became Jack, you know?
What is a body squeezer? Are they like, they hug?
That's all it is.
Invasion of the huggers.
Yeah. Some kind of creature in the house. I don't know. Jake will have to read this. I'm not the co-host. But so
it's
they were going to send him like
pancake that squeezes the body.
Yeah. Pancakes are probably involved somehow. But so he was going to be written into a book, get all the books. He was going to go be in one of the shows, but they were going to fly one of my parents and him up to Toronto, which is where they were shooting it. And my parents, you know, wisely said, can you just like, instead of paying for flights up there, can we just drive and like, you know, you pay for our hotel or, you know, whatever it was. Like they ended up getting money to travel up there because they could take the whole family instead of flying. So we did a road trip, stopped in Chicago and Niagara Falls on the way up. So that was like a cool family vacation. But got up there, they put us up in the Four Seasons Hotel, which at that time was like one of the 20 fanciest hotels in the world or something. Like it was high in the rankings. Cool. Yeah, and I mean, me and my brothers were freaking out because, like, they had all these fluffy bathrobes and, like, all this just ridiculous stuff. And at one point, we walked into the room and they had, you know, like, how in movies or whatever, there was, like, a bucket of ice with champagne in it. Mm-hmm. They had a bucket of ice with milk in it and giant cookies that they left on the, like, on the beds or whatever.
Like your Santa Claus.
Yeah, it felt like, it felt like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone, like when he's staying in the fancy hotel or whatever, he's just doing whatever he wants. Home Alone 2, I guess, probably. So we went up there, they put us up in this hotel, and we got to go be on set when they shot this Goosebumps episode, which was The Haunted Mask 2, and then it was turned into, like, I think it was a two-parter on TV, which is, I think, where it aired. So it's The Haunted Mask 2 Part 1. And I know this because obviously I go watch it like every other Halloween, and it's on Netflix. I can never remember if it's Halloween or The Haunted Mask 1 Part 2 or Haunted Mask 2 Part 1. So I think it's Haunted Mask 2 Part 1. So we got to go up there. But one of the first things they did is we got to go have lunch with R.L. Stine. And so they, you know, we're at the hotel, they take us in this room. It was a giant room and, you know, a room for probably 15 people or something at the table, but it was just me and my three brothers and two parents. And then they had like a couple people from the network or whatever, I'm sure is I don't know, his secretary or something. Like, there were some other people there that I didn't know. And then R.L. Stine comes walking in. You know, they open the door, and he comes pushing this giant cauldron that is, like, has all this, like, smoke kind of floating out of it, which is, like, you know, the dry ice smoke or whatever.
Yeah.
And the dummy from Night of the Living Dummy, like, pops its head out and goes and, like, looks around and is like, did someone order lunch? You know, and we're like, and as kids, you know, I was probably 12 at this time, 14, 13, you know, I don't know. Like, we're just like freaking out, like, ah. And so, yeah, R.L. Stine like came in and sat down, and I have no idea what we had for lunch or what we talked about, but it was pretty fun. And but then they also, like, we went to film it in this giant neighborhood in Toronto, and I mean the houses were pretty massive, and they had, it felt like they had blocked off the entire neighborhood, because much of the show was kids trick-or-treating, running around the neighborhood, stuff like that. So yeah, they had to have. And so that was pretty cool, because you got to see the TV cameras or whatever, movie cameras, like on the tracks where they would do the long shots, you know, pulling it back so it's steady cam or whatever. And so did all that. We got to go check out the creature shop in outside of Toronto, where they made all of the different creatures for the shows.
Oh,
so
that's
they
cool.
would show us. Yeah, it was like the giant, well, there was lots of prosthetic stuff, like masks that, you know, people would put on. But then they also had like a dog that was probably, you know, like 4 feet tall and like 6 feet wide or whatever. And they would like push it on these, like this rolling thing, and make its mouth like open and shut. And so I don't even know what episode that was for, but it was kind of cool to see all the behind the scenes stuff. So we spent a couple hours there. But yeah, so that was the time I met R.L. Stine.
I have to ask, Graham.
Yeah.
Did you get goosebumps when he came out?
I'm sure I did. It was, I remember it being pretty cool when he first came into the room, you know. And I'm jealous now, because my brother Jack, at one point I calculated his Kevin Bacon number, you know, like the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like three away, because I think the girl who's the main actress in the movie, or TV show, whatever you want to call it, TV movie, she was in something with someone else who was in a movie with Kevin Bacon, or maybe she was even in a movie with Kevin Bacon. I don't remember, but so his number is way lower than mine. And then my other brother, just like 2 years ago, was cast as an extra in the Coen Brothers movie that was shot here in Nebraska. So now they both have claims to fame, you know, in with Hollywood. I have no Kevin Bacon number.
But you did write an article about hot dogs on an interstate once.
That is true. And it had a pretty good headline.
Yeah, lit
our website for quite some time.
And you signed a paper for Daryl Strawberry. We've already talked about that. That's a good claim to fame right there.
Yeah, nobody...
Getting back to Goosebumps, I have a few follow-up questions.
Okay.
Was R.L. Stine what you expected? Like, did he look like what you expected? Was his personality the typical creepy horror writer?
I think he wears black all the time, like black turtleneck and black pants or something, which is just like exactly what you would expect from R.L. Stine, I guess. He was reminded me a little bit of like Ben Stein, like that kind of, you know, I don't want to say boring, but even...
Is that demeanor?
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, I don't know. He honestly probably didn't even say that much. We probably asked him stupid questions like, what book's your favorite, you know, or whatever. But I wouldn't want to be trapped in a room with like a couple 10-year-olds and a 12-year-old and a 14-year-old or whatever and have them asking me questions. He probably just, but I, as far as I remember, he went with it, you know, he was pretty good to talk to and everything.
So I read a little bit on the Goosebumps wiki, and mm-hmm. in the body snatchers were aliens. or body squeezers. Body squeezers.
Body squeezers, yeah.
But it has a little bit of Jack's personality here.
Oh.
Was he really into space and the unknown?
I would say probably. Like, I don't remember that being a childhood passion of my brother's. But, like, we have definitely had many conversations about weird space stuff. as kids, we were very into Star Trek. So that wouldn't surprise me at all. Yeah.
Was his nickname Saucer Man?
Saucer Man?
I don't believe his nickname was Saucer Man. If anyone called him that, I never heard it. But
they should start.
I might start.
I think it's time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It says Jack does tend to jump too soon whenever he spotted something, earning him the nickname Saucer Man, which he hated.
I don't even follow the logic there, but...
yeah, what?
But, yeah, it's definitely something I'm going to start doing.
It's related to him looking up at space and getting excited about stuff, keeping an eye out for anything unusual, such as comets, which is how he noticed the body squeezers.
Yeah.
Hmm. One question I have is, when you came back... You go back to school, and how long did you coast on this? Like, oh, you're reading a Goosebumps book there, buddy? I guess you met R.L. Stein, this guy.
So I was probably in, I think we went the summer before sixth grade started for me, which was middle school. Mm-hmm. And so at that point, you're like a little bit out of that stuff. I mean, I still had a sweet vacation. Like, we went to Six Flags, I think, in Chicago, and saw Niagara Falls, and like I said, and spent a little bit of time in Toronto. So still had a pretty good vacation story. But I don't know. I don't think I coasted too much on it. The one thing I guess I forgot to mention was, like, they fly up, like, we all come up there to be, like, he's going to be in the show, you know? And we sit on set. We were probably on set for like 8 hours that day. Like, I remember getting there but when it was sunny out, and they were definitely shooting, like, I think his scene was probably 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock, something like that. And it was supposed to just be him. They ended up, him and my dad were both in the scene. And the shot opens with him, like, at a house trick-or-treating. He's dressed as a clown, huge. Like, I remember the shoes were like this big, got a colorful wig, all that stuff. And he's just like had gotten some candy and is walking back down the driveway. And my dad leans over, and my dad they didn't plan for my dad to be in it. So he's wearing jean shorts he's wearing jean shorts and like, I don't know, some button down shirt, whatever.
90s dad. And, that's what he's dressed
as. Yeah, has his socks pulled up with like some boots, you know, or something.
Love
and,
it.
Is your dad's name Frank?
No.
Oh.
Is that what it is in the book, I assume?
That's what Goosebumps Wiki has.
No, so Jack comes down, and my dad goes, "What'd you get, buddy?" And he goes, and holds open his bag and doesn't even say anything. And my dad just like kind of nods, I think. And then he goes, "Let's go over there." And then they walk off screen. And then the camera like pans this way, and then you see the main characters start. So that probably all happens in like 2.5 seconds or something. And then, like, the main character walks in, and they're the next ones to go up to that house to trick-or-treat or something. So all of this happened so that he could be on screen for, like, 2.5 seconds.
He just wrote this, like, really small part. Does your brother have an IMDb page?
No, he doesn't.
I feel like he could probably, I don't know if he make those or how that works, but he's like, hey, I was a lead actor in this movie.
I don't know if you have to be credited lead actor. I was lead actor in this scene opener.
He was leading the actor behind him. He's
That's true. Yeah, he was, I don't know if he was credited. I guess I've never looked in the credits to see if it said anything. But I wonder if that's a way that you, if you have to be credited to be on IMDb, but.
Yeah, I mean, it's worth probably checking. It'd be kind of cool to have an IMDb page. And
yeah, might as well hire him an agent, I guess. but yeah, so R.L. Stein sold 400 million copies of books. I don't know, is that better than Daryl Strawberry's measly, like, 800 home runs or whatever he's hit?
That's nowhere near 400 million.
Okay, so now that we're done here, and now that you've had time to think, what is your official top five of your famous people of all time you've met?
Daryl Strawberry's had 335 home runs. So for every home run that he has hit, R.L. Stein sold like 1.1 million books. Like, which one's better?
I feel like, because if you go outside the baseball world, I mean, Daryl Strawberry did transcend baseball to an extent during his time because of off-field stuff, but R.L. Stein's probably still selling books.
That's definitely true. He's,
I don't know who...
They're making Goosebumps movies now, aren't they? Like, there was a real live-action one a couple of years ago.
That's a good question, though. Who's more famous, Daryl Strawberry or R.L. Stein? Absolutely no relation to each other, but... Like, I want to say Daryl Strawberry, but I'm biased because I'm, you know, a baseball fan, sports fan. I don't read a ton, but, like, R.L. Stein probably has a bigger reach.
Considering pop culture and stuff, I would lean R.L. Stein.
He made...
How many kids
he made $41 million. In 96, 97, Forbes put him on the top 40 best paid entertainers. He made $41 million that year.
R.L. Stein?
Yeah. And
Daryl Strawberry never made $41 million in a year.
Not in a year.
Especially not with the contracts of his era.
He was named,
Stein might be one.
Guinness Book of World Records named Stein the best-selling children's book series author of all time.
Okay, that might, because he's probably worldwide too, right? I'm assuming Goosebumps is printed in more than one language.
There are rides based on his books at SeaWorld and Busch Gardens.
There's no strawberry coaster, I don't think.
If there is, I don't want to ride on it.
All right. Well, I think Arnold Stein's my number one, I think.
The list he had to have written, I'm scrolling through the Wikipedia page and it's a lot of scrolling. He had to have written 150 books, including some Indiana Jones. I don't even know what this
really?
Is. Yeah, G.I. Joe. He wrote. So the thing that blew my mind the most is, you guys are probably a little too young for this. Do you remember Eureka's Castle?
No.
It was like a show that was probably on Nickelodeon or something like that in the very early 90s, maybe late 80s.
I was born in 93, so I probably wouldn't have seen it.
Let me see if I can. Yeah, Nickelodeon. He was the co-creator. It was 89 to 91. He co-created Eureka's Castle, which was like kind of this... I would call it kind of educational. Like, it reminds me of Sesame Street a little bit. But it was like, I remember being a kid and thinking like that was the coolest. Cause I was the same. I didn't have cable growing up. And so like you'd go to your grandparents and you'd go to Nickelodeon. You'd be like, what is this show? You know, but it was like the puppets and everything just like that. But he co-created it and developed the characters and was a head writer. Like, this dude's all over the place. So I think I'm giving it to, yeah, the show's various puppet characters. Oh, no. I guess I thought they showed up on Sesame Street, but it doesn't look like they did. But
so number one's R.L. Stein. Number two is probably Osborne. Number three.
No, sorry.
Number two, Daryl Strawberry. Number three, Osborne. Number four, Carriker
or Bud Crawford.
I put Crawford over Carriker. Yeah. It's hard because notoriety 15 years ago, probably Carriker. Notoriety 2020, it's Crawford. But I'd probably say Crawford over Carriker in terms of current fame, at least. Actually, Crawford might be over Osborne. We go by current fame, but
that's true. I did meet. So it all depends on what you mean by meet. Like, I signed an autograph for Daryl Strawberry, so I consider that meeting. But like Kyle Korver, I worked in the Creighton Athletic Department when he walked in and like would talk to, I was at the front desk and talk to people, stuff like that. I met a lot of the Creighton players, I guess, while I was there. But like, I wouldn't call that meeting. It was more like,
you're in the same room as him. I feel like you have to pose for a picture or shake their hand or like at least.
They at least have to know your name.
At least like a back and forth. Them.
Yeah,
so like my list is bad. Like, I've met Rob Van Dam, former WWE superstar. I don't know what that counts for, but I just want to throw that out there because I just remembered it. So
Okay. Jake, have you met any famous people? Can you top Rob Van Dam?
Okay, how about Hayden Fry, too? I don't know if he's higher than Rob Van Dam. It's probably pretty close.
Hayden Fry is higher than Rob Van Dam.
I don't know, man. No,
maybe not nationally, I guess. I don't know.
My most famous one is probably going to be Carriker.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't think of anyone else that I didn't win a contest when I was 10. and I did check to confirm that this story is true. It was the Fox Kids Terrorific Goosebumps Giveaway Contest.
Whoa, you found this.
That's pretty cool.
We have copies of the magazine. They sent us they didn't send us the books, but they sent us 800 copies of the magazine. Because so he won by filling out just a form in it. And then they obviously ran pictures and a little blurb about, the contest winner 3 months later or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we had I just remember having boxes, we had two or three boxes full of those. So the only downside to it all is that my brother now gets to hold one of our best vacations over our head, every time it comes up. He's like, yeah, you're welcome for that vacation, guys.
Yeah.
We're like, whatever, but.
He's right. I mean, that's a pretty damn good vacation. And without him, you don't get that. So.
I think it's the only time I left the United States until probably when I was 27 or something was the only time. And I don't even think I had, when you're a kid, do you need a passport to leave? What happens if you're a kid and you get lost in Canada? Do you just become a Canadian at that point? I don't know.
Is there a South Park episode in this? Maybe.
Probably. And then, so I eventually took a separate vacation to the Jamaica, stuff like that, when I was 27, but I had to get a passport then. That was my first time getting a passport.
Was Arl Stein at that one too?
No, there was lots of Bob Marley references, but I didn't.
Arl Stein just sitting there with, hey, Graham, what's up?
That would be. But what's interesting is the Jamaican trip was actually also free. What? It was a romantic getaway with my friend Jeff. He was one of the best sellers in his, at his workplace. And so he won a contest, work selling contest or whatever, and had a free ticket to go on a cruise to Jamaica and Grand Cayman and stuff like that. So
were you dating Sarah at this point?
No, this was probably right a little before that.
Okay, so you weren't hey Sarah, I'm gonna go hang out with Jeff in Jamaica.
Yeah.
See you later.
Yeah, it was definitely I like to joke that it was my romantic cruise date with Jeff.
Classic good Jeff.
Time. Yeah. But another free vacation.
Yeah, it's two out of the country for free. That's pretty impressive. Well, gas money, I guess, for your folks. Yeah, but
it's true. Relatively we also free. Stayed. We stayed in a hotel in Miami, I think, is where the boat left. That's the worst hotel I've ever stayed in. So I have both times I left the country. One I stayed in the nicest hotel in North America or something, and then the other one, I pushed two chairs together and slept on that because I didn't want to sleep on the bed. Because it just did not look
dirty.
Yeah, it was bed bugs for sure, mm. Yeah, it was real shady, but
it's pretty nasty. That's a goosebump story right there.
Yeah, I guess.
Invasion of the bed bugs from space.
Different type of body huggers, I guess.
Well.
Well.
I guess that's a good note to end this. So Jake, do you have something else?
No, unless if you have any more goosebumps puns to work in. I was keeping a count there. I think you got up to 3.
Yeah, that's going to be the headline too. So as always, been a pleasure. And thank you everybody for listening. Make sure you give us a review in iTunes. Follow us on iTunes and Spotify and our Facebook page.